Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to go into your word, and your word says, and many of us know this, we've experienced it, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts all the way down to our hearts, Lord. And I pray that your word would cut our hearts this morning. Let your truth and your grace, Lord, we can't handle your truth without your grace. And I'm so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, full of truth and also full of grace, so that your truth didn't kill us, your grace lifted us. Lord, let us experience your truth and your grace this morning as we worship you in spirit and in word. Father, be with us, guide us. Let your spirit speak through your word and through your servant this morning. I pray in your name. Amen. You can follow along with the Talk It Over sheet if you have that there. There's some in the back. If not, we're in Jonah. It's kind of a sad day for me because I've really enjoyed this series, Jonah, Living in a World with God and Sinners. It's sad because this will be the wrap-up for that. And Jonah just ends with a big cliffhanger, and I personally don't like that. I like a nice conclusion, the fairy tale ending where they lived happily ever after. And here it's just not that way. God gives this last word, and it's like, what are you going to do, Jonah? This is not, you see this other places in Scripture as well, right? Jesus did this. He did it in the story that we call the prodigal son. I like to call the story of the two lost sons, where the younger brother goes off, does his frivolous living, and he comes back, and the father welcomes him and invites him back, and the older brother gets a little angry and bitter because of what his younger brother did, and Jesus goes, or the father goes out, talking about the heart of God and the heart of Christ, goes out and confronts the older brother because God opposes the proud. He doesn't give up on them. He opposes them. He opposes the older brother, and he says, hey, what I have is yours. It's always been yours. Why don't you come in and join the younger brother and celebrate with us, because your brother was lost and now he's found. And it ends with a cliffhanger. What does the older brother do? And that's Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, saying, what will you do? This is the same here with Jonah. What will you do? It's the same problem throughout much of Scripture when you read it, where the heart of God moves and saves sinners, and the religious get a little frustrated with that, and there's cliffhangers saying, what will you do? Where's your heart and where's God's heart? God is after our heart. Right, where have we been? How did we get here? How's Jonah going to be left with this cliffhanger? Well, you know, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah didn't respond too well, right? Trust and obey, or go your own way. He went his own way. And when God was trying to get his attention and set a storm to get his attention, Jonah did what many of us do. He tried to avoid doing what God wanted him to do. And then, instead of turning around, he throws himself in despair and just says, throw me overboard. And he goes in this deep, dark place, arranged by God. God arranged that he would sit in darkness and do some soul work and ask himself, who is God? What does he want me to know? Because that's the whole point. Right? We've been studying this story of Jonah. It's not really a story about Jonah. It's a story about who God is and how will we respond to who God is. And we're going to see a little bit more of that today. But what we learned last week is that our God is a God of second chances. Amen? Amen. Second chances, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. That's what our God does. If there's breath in your lungs and you have a heartbeat, you have another chance. God's given you another chance to turn to him or return to him. One or the other. We looked at this in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It said, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. He gave him another opportunity. It's what God often does, because God is there waiting, and he is watching, and he is willing. He's watching, willing, and waiting. What will we do? Will we respond like Jonah, or will we trust and obey, or will we go our own way? He's letting this world continue, as I said earlier, because there are billions of lost souls that are needing the gospel. But how much time do we have? I don't know. When's the right time to turn or return to God? Now. I want to repeat what the prophet Joel said in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He said this, that is why the Lord says, he's talking to the nation of Israel, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. God is not after this external display of repentance. He wants our hearts and our hearts to be aligned with him. So he says, return to the Lord your God. Why? For he is merciful and compassionate, and he's slow to get angry, and he's filled with unfailing love, and he is eager to relent and not to punish. Right? So when Jonah obeyed God and gave the message to the Ninevites, a five-word message in the Hebrew language, right, the shortest possible, God's going to destroy this city because of your evil ways. Right? What? They repent. And what does God do? God does what God does because of who he is. We read this in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. It says, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. It's not that God literally changed his mind. God was watching, God was waiting, and God was willing all the time. He knew what they would do. We didn't know what the Ninevites would do. We didn't know what we'll do, right? But God does. And God was willing, and God relented because he's eager to relent. He's eager to take away his anger. But how did Jonah respond to that? Go to Jonah chapter 4. We're going to be there the whole time. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. No matter what translation you're reading from, it's going to say emphatically that Jonah was upset and distressed by God's decision, and that he was very, very angry, not just a slightly disturbed by this. He was furious with God's decision. And before we get all like, oh man, Jonah, how could you do that? Let's recall who the Ninevites were. They were part of the Assyrian Empire, the most powerful empire, but not always pleasant, right? They were powerful, but not always pleasant. And they ruled in a way that sometimes brought great harm and terror in the people around them. And that included Jonah and the Israelites. Their interactions with the Ninevites, where the Ninevites came into their city, and what history tells us is they took their leaders out publicly while they were still alive and skinned them in front of everybody. Don't stand up against us. History will also tell us that they actually took the skins of these men and nailed them on their walls as wallpaper, the signs of who they were. And there's much more, but I don't want to just sit here and talk about that, because that's, but I want you to get the point here. Can you understand why Jonah was like, God, why didn't you save them earlier? Or why don't you just destroy them now? They are just pure evil. They are the most disgusting, evil people I've seen on this planet. Just fix it. And he got emotional, but can you blame him? Like, can you blame him for being like, I just don't agree with this? And then his emotions started taking over, and I've titled this message, When Your Emotions Take Over. Because this is exactly what happened. His emotions just took over. He's like, I don't understand how you could do this, God. There's two things I want us to see before we get into the rest of this passage. The first one is this. It's possible to do God's work without God's heart. Okay. It's possible to do God's work without God's heart. You can do the work that God has asked you to do, but sometimes your heart isn't aligned to what God's heart is. And sometimes we can do more hurt than harm in those situations. And God is after our hearts. Remember, he doesn't just want us to tear our clothes in the external display of our sincerity and devotion to him. He wants our hearts. He says, tear your hearts. I want your heart. That's what he's after. He wants us to do the things for him that he calls us to do for the same reasons that he wants them done. That we would transform our hearts and our minds to his heart and his mind. I just want to point this out because we live in this modern world and sometimes we think we're smart and we're not. Because if I, and I'll get into this later, but if I ask you, where do your thoughts come from? Your head, you're going to point up here. If I ask you, where do your feelings come from? You're probably going to say your heart, and you might even point down here. See, they didn't have the concept of a brain, and they didn't know that everything came from up here. But when they use the word heart in the Bible, when you read the word heart, they're talking about the center of who you are, where your thoughts, where your feelings, where your actions, the will to do what you do come from. All in the same place. We are so smart that we figured out that our brains are where our thoughts come from, but somehow we left our feelings down in our hearts. Somehow this organ that pumps blood is making us feel certain things. Well, it doesn't. Okay, it just, there's nothing. It pumps blood. We need our hearts. I get that, the organ. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. So when the Bible talks about us tearing our hearts, it's saying you need to fix up here. Change the way that you think and change the way that you feel. And your thoughts and your feelings come from up here. Right? And with that, I want to make this point. Your emotions are a great companion, but a terrible leader. Many of you have heard me say this many times. Emotions are a great companion, but a terrible leader. We are not to be led by our emotions. We are to lead our emotions. I like to picture it like there's this rope. And we are supposed to use it as a leash. We're hooking the leash to our feelings and saying, you will obey truth. God's word says that you should feel this. You will start to feel this. And I'm going to start saying, I'm going to tell you truth enough until you start to feel that. Right? We lead our emotions like with a leash. But sometimes, and this is what often happens, our emotions like take control. They like wrap around our leg and drag us somewhere. It's like, how did I get there? Because our emotions are leading us instead of us leading our emotions. Now, if we lead our emotions, they're actually a good companion. Right? If we're directing our emotions to align with God's word, they'll help us experience the fullness of what God wants us to experience. We'll understand his love more when we attach our emotions to it. But if our emotions are, this is the way I feel today, and no, we direct our feelings and our emotions. We're not led by our hearts, we're led by God's word. And then we attach and we lead our feelings in that same direction. Easier said than done, amen? Way easier said than done. So what happens here? Jonah's having a hard time, understandably, with the Ninevites knowing who they are and where he's at. So what does he do? He's going to talk to God, which isn't a bad thing. So go to chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. It says this. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. Which he actually didn't make it there. That's another thing. I knew, this is what he's angry about God about. I knew that you were a merciful and compassionate God. Should sound familiar. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. How dare you, God? So what does he ask this? Merciful, compassionate, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love, eager to turn back from destroying people, God to do? He says, God, just kill me now. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The great irony, right? Like, he knows who God is more than most people, but he's asking God to do the exact same thing that he just said God doesn't like to do. Because he's doing God's work, but he doesn't have God's heart, and his heart's not aligned with God's heart. And there's the problem there. There's a disconnect. But I get it. Like, you have to get this. When you read Scripture, sometimes it just seems like it's all backwards and upside down. Right? God's kingdom seems upside down. Doesn't it? I mean, have you read the Bible? The last shall be come first? Losing is winning. Like when you lose your life, you save it. When you try to save your life, you lose it. Dying is living. Die to yourself and find life. Right? That's when you find it. When weakness is strength. If you try to go with your own strength, that's your pride, and pride comes before the fall. But in your weakness, you are made strong because his grace is sufficient. It just seems backwards. And then on top of this, we have this whole relationship thing where Jesus came and just kind of blew up our standard, like, hey, if you're good to me, I'll be good to you. And if you're bad to me, I'm going to be bad to you. And then Jesus comes in the Sermon on the Mount and he says, you know what? You are to love your enemies. And sometimes your very enemies will become your beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's like, what? And this is what Jonah's dealing with, which I get it. It's like, this doesn't, like, these people, after all that they did, now I'm supposed to sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya with them? Right? But it's crazy. But it seems backwards. It seems upside down. It doesn't make sense. And our emotions will not naturally go with God's word. And this is why we have to lead our emotions. This doesn't make logical sense. This doesn't seem right. This is what God's word says. I feel weak right now, and this is right where God needs me. I feel like I'm losing right now, and that probably means somehow God's winning and using this to win. I don't get it all the time, but I've seen it happen, and I know some of you have as well. And that's who our God is, but it doesn't make it easy. And we still feel this way. And God will ask us sometimes the same thing he is going to ask Jonah. What does he ask Jonah in verse 4? He replies with this question. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? You know just a little bit about the Ninevites. Do you think it's right for him to be angry about this? I kind of feel like it's right for him to be angry about this. But you know, in our logic, but this is the question. Is it right for you to be angry about this? God is trying to lead Jonah, lead his heart. He's trying to pierce his heart, saying, Jonah, I know you feel this way, but is your feeling aligned with me? You know, like Jonah knew God's word. Remember in the belly of the fish, he was like quoting the Psalms as he's in the belly of the fish. He knows God's word. He's quoting God's word here. He's quoting Exodus and Psalms, or maybe even the prophet Joel. Like, he's quoting God's word. He knows it. That's why he didn't want to go. But his feelings were contradictory to God's word. And here's what we need to hear, especially in our culture. Just because you're feeling something doesn't mean it's right. Just because you're feeling something doesn't mean it's right. You may feel this way, but it doesn't mean that you're right about it. And you have to say, okay, feeling, here you come. Let me hook you to the leash. Here's what God's word says. Let me drag you over. Like, you're trying to run into the road. You know, it's like you hook the dog. Like, don't run there. That's not going to end well. Like, come. You need to know this. Right? Just because you're feeling something doesn't mean it's right. So what happened? Then Jonah, verse 5. Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. Just sitting there in bitterness, saying, God, they didn't really change. They didn't really repent. They just didn't want bad things to happen. I don't think they'll ever be different. I've seen how evil those people are. I'm just going to sit here and wait until you destroy them. And I'm not doing anything until you do. Now, this seems like, you know, like, well, it's no big deal. He just went out to the east side. But if you read Scripture, when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, they got kicked out to the east side. When Cain killed his brother Abel, he went east. When Abraham and Lot separated, Lot went east to Sodom. This is an illustration that he's turned his back on God. He's turned his back on God, and he's walking away from God, saying, God, I want nothing to do with what you're doing there. My heart is not aligned to your heart. I don't get it. I don't even want to get it. I'm going to sit here in my emotions and let them rule the day. Right? Unleashed emotions lead you away from God. Unleashed emotions lead you away from God. We are called to leash them up and guide our emotions to align them with God's word. Don't follow your heart. Follow God's word. Please. We live in a culture that says, follow your heart. I feel like if you've talked to anybody under the age, it's probably like 40 or 50 now, they usually speak with, I feel like. They don't say, I think, I believe. I've come to the conclusion that they say, I feel like, because we've just been taught that. We speak with our feelings, and it's like, wait a minute, whoa. Sometimes we'll even say it just without even knowing it. We think something, but we communicate like I feel. Because we live in this culture that says, follow your heart. But we worship a God that says, follow his word and guide your heart. Okay. We have to follow God's heart and God's word. Here's what God does. If you know the story, it just seems cruel. Okay. Seems really sweet at first, and then you're like, come on, God, that was just mean. But God was trying to teach Jonah a lesson. And just like us, we rejoice in the blessings that God gives us. We all like God's blessings, amen? Amen? We like them. But when God tries to teach us a lesson, we're like, God, wait a minute. This is kind of what happens here. Let's read. First read verse 6. And the Lord God arranged. See that word a lot in this book? Right? The Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Did you catch that? For the plant. He was very grateful. But it eased his discomfort. And you're like, God eased his pain. That's good. Isn't that what God's supposed to do? Well, let's see what God does next. Okay, verse 7 and 8. But God also arranged for a worm. a hungry, powerful super worm. Didn't go for the leaves. He went straight for the stem. Okay, this worm, the next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death, his words, death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. We want to find salvation. We want to find comfort in the blessings of God. God wants us to find comfort and fulfillment in him. He does. That's where he's drawing Jonah. He's saying, come, come to me. How much does he do this? I want you to catch this. He didn't just arrange the worm. He arranged for what? A scorching east wind. Did you hear that? Where did the wind come from? Where did Jonah go to? So this wind came from the east. Literally, like God was blowing Jonah back. Like, Jonah, will you come back? I'm going to throw this wind in your face. What should you do if you have a scorching wind blasting in your face? You should turn around. It's a sign to turn around. And he doesn't turn around. Like, we see that as God's just being mean. And he's trying to get, come back. This is what God is saying. Jonah, come back to me. Turn around. You turned your back on me, I'm trying to blow you back to me. And I know right now it seems like there's just another problem, but it's actually God's providence. Right? We've talked about that a few times. And we looked at this a couple weeks ago. God will take you where you don't want to go to get you where you need to be. It's also true that God will allow things to happen in your life or even arrange for them to happen to get you back to him. If you're worshiping something other than God, sometimes God will take that thing away. That's what he does, because he knows what's good for us and what we need. Do we trust him? Will we follow him? That's the question. Will we trust and obey, or will we go our own way? The whole theme here. The problem is our emotions take over, just like they did here. Jonah's so distraught, he's like, it would just be better that I would die than for all this to happen. Like, just get rid of me, God. Let me die. Why didn't you let me drown in the sea? For a minute I was grateful. Now I'm just disturbed that you let me live. But this is what happens when emotions take over. Right? Emotions take over. So what happens when emotions take over? I want to give you four things. These aren't there. If you want to write them down, you can. That's not full. But I think we see some of this in Jonah. You probably see some of it in yourself. When emotions take over, sometimes our emotions come and they just create big mood swings. You know, anybody else lose control of their emotions and it's like, poof, poof, you're all over the place? All flippy floppy. You just, like, you were like, I'm so filled with joy. A couple hours later, you're like, I'm depressed. What happened? I don't know. Life. You were obeying God, and now you're trying to ignore him. You were passionate, like, I'm ready to worship. Now you're like, I just don't want to go to church today. I don't want to. You're just apathetic. You were encouraged, and you were encouraging other people. Now you're just critical of yourself and others. Like a grumpy old man just going around, and you're critical. You used to, like, God, I see you working in my life, and I want to grow closer to you. Whatever you do, whatever it takes, I want that to happen. Now you're like, I don't want your discipline, God. Even more than that, you're like, God, you're demanding blessings. And you're like, I don't demand blessings. I only ask for them in prayer and get mad when he doesn't bring them. Okay, you're demanding blessings. If you're asking God if he'll do stuff and then you get ticked off at God when he doesn't do them, you're demanding them. Okay? You might not call it that, but that's what it is. These are side effects that we see. The side effects are the same on these other three. But mood swings, you have it, your emotions are all over the place. Sometimes your emotions don't flip back and forth. They just stay in one place that's unhealthy, like entitlement. Right? You just stay up there, and this is pride building and swelling up, the throne of I. Jonah definitely dealt with this as well. You know, God, how could you let this happen to these people? They should be destroyed. They deserve this, God. I deserve better than this. How can you let this happen to this person and not to me? And right, this entitlement that gets built into our bloodstream, it seems like. Where we put ourselves on this pedestal and we're just so focused on us and what's happening. And that God should be doing more for us. Or the complete opposite. Again, we're not moving all over the place. We're just down into a deep depression. Down, down, down. Running from God or ignoring God, and it leads us to a place where we're down. And they take over. Our emotions take over. And we just can't seem to pull out of it. Fourth, the mood swings, entitlement, depression, or just you're frozen, anxiety. A self-made prison. I'm afraid this is going to happen. This might happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm afraid. Do you see the way things are going? I don't know how they're going to respond. I'm just, and you shut yourself out, and people try to, will even try to get in. You're like, no, nope, can't do it. I can't handle it right now. I can't take one more heartbreak. I can't do it. These all, they're not unmerited. I'm not saying that. Like, if you're dealing with these things, then shame on you. No. I'm not saying even shame on Jonah. Like, I get it. When you live in this sinful world, and God interacts with this world, and He's showing grace in areas where I'm like, I thought you were a God of judgment. Other areas, He shows judgment, and we're like, I thought you were a God of grace. And God doesn't do what we want Him to do. He does what's right, and we get worked up about that, and our emotions will get us and take us where we don't want to go. Right? They lead us often away from God. And God's saying, nope, take those emotions and trust me and obey me, and you lead your emotions with a leash and align them with God's word. And since our God is a God of second chances, He'll also sometimes ask a question a second time. Look at this in verse 9. It says, then God said to Jonah, is it right? Sound familiar? Is it right for you to be angry? This time I'll change it. Because the plant died. Yes. Yes, Jonah says. Like, yes, even angry enough to die. Like, yes, my feelings are justified in this. They are. God doesn't ask him, start off with another question. He points out that Jonah's feeling, right? Look at verses 10 and 11. It says, then the Lord said, you feel, or you have pity, whatever this emotion, whatever your translation says, he'll say there's this emotion that's worked up. God's saying to Jonah, you have this emotion, you feel sorry about the plant. Though you did nothing to put it there, it came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Back to the animals, right? Shouldn't I feel sorry? So shouldn't I have pity? Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? See what he say, you're feeling this way. This is the way you should be feeling. But they're an evil people. Man, they were so serious about repentance. They didn't just repent from the highest of them to the king to the lowest. They're like, our animals are going to repent as well. Our animals are going to fast. Like, we're serious about this. We're following. Like, we're all in, God. That's where they were. But because of the pain, like, Jonah couldn't handle this. And this is left as a cliffhanger here. This is it. It's like, Jonah, what will you do? Where's your heart at? Your emotions are all over. Are you going to guide your emotions, or are you going to let your emotions lead you? You know who I am. Right? Jonah quoted God. Like, I know who you are. I know. But are you going to go along with that? Are you going to follow God's will, or are you going to follow your own will? See, here's the reality here. God gets the final word. That's the one thing I love about the book of Jonah. Because again, this is not a story about Jonah. It's a story about God. And God gets the final word. And we have to decide, how are we going to respond to God and who He is? We pray for His will to be done. Right? If you quote the Lord's Prayer, for His kingdom, His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray in Jesus' name, amen, you are praying for His will to be done. If you just say amen, you are praying for His will to be done. We can pray for His will to be done, but we can live for our will to be done. Right? We often do. You can claim to follow God when you're actually following your will and your emotions. Here's what I feel like should happen. And it's hard to take control over emotions and follow God. But there's one thing that Scripture makes clear, and that is that God is worthy. He's worthy for us to follow. He's worthy for us to worship. He's worthy for us to live for, to die for, to give our lives for. He is worthy. Jonah? No. Jonah's not a very good example. Jonah was successful in bringing people to God, but he wasn't like, here's the man I want to follow. He's not even a man I want to listen to. Right? You think about that when you read this story. And that's why I love what Jesus said. He lifts up the Ninevites, and he says something like this. Okay. This is in Matthew 12, verse 41. It'll be up here on the screen, or you can write it down. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. They heard and they listened to Jonah, but you and I, we have much more, right? And here's what Jesus says: and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. He's talking about Jesus. In case you didn't get that, it's Jesus. Where Jonah ran from God, Jesus surrendered to God. Where Jonah wanted His will, Jesus wanted His Father's will, God's will. Where Jonah refused to love sinners, Jesus loved sinners, but not only that, He gave His life and died for sinners like you and I. Jonah struggled to align his heart with God's heart. Jesus had the heart of God, because He was God. And He displayed His heart on a cross for all of us to see. This is who I am. I don't want to bring this upon you. I'll take it upon myself. So you don't have to have this brought upon you. That's who our God is. That's who our God is. And He will ask us this question. Same question that Joel asked. I'm going to come back here again, the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. That is why the Lord says, I don't know how much time there is. This is why, right? When's He coming back? When is your life going to be? I don't know. Turn to Me now while there is time. Give Me your good works and all your efforts. No. Give Me your money. No, give Me your hearts. Come with fasting and weeping and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. And you're sitting here, maybe you're a Christian and you've just walked away. You were obeying God and now you're running from God. You were worshiping God and now you're mad at God because He's not doing what you want Him to do. You're afraid, you're alone, you're depressed, you're losing hope. Not sure if life is worth the living, just like Jonah. God gives the invitation, return. Return to the Lord your God, for He is merciful and compassionate, and He is slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish. This is who our God is. And you're never alone. If any story tells us that, it's the story of Jonah. No matter how far you run, no matter where you're at, even at the bottom of the ocean, God is there. You're never alone. And even when it feels helpless, it's never hopeless. Even when you feel helpless, you're never hopeless. And when you say, my heart can't take it anymore, I can't bear it anymore, I'm going to break, I want to remind you of a verse that has saved me at times. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And He knows everything. He is greater than your heart. He knows what you don't know. Trust Him. And when your heart feels like it's breaking, He will hold it together. It's who He is. God gets the final word. Don't speak, decide. The story was left with a cliffhanger. What will you do? What are you going to do? I'm going to end this the same way I ended last week. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. What will you decide? We're going to sing. I'm going to go ahead and ask for you ladies to come up. I'm going to ask you all to stand. You can stay seated if you need to, but if you want to stand, we're going to sing. But before we do, I want to pray. Just give a moment. I want to ask you this question. What has God taught you? Again, we didn't study Jonah to find out and figure out all about Jonah so we can go to heaven one day and say, let me tell you all about Jonah, God. That's not it. We studied this story of Jonah so we could figure out who God is and how He works. When you look at this story, what does it reveal to you about who God is? What does it reveal to you about where you need to change? Remember, we're not reading the story of Jonah with a lens looking at the world around us. We're reading the story of Jonah with a mirror looking inward saying, God, change me. Rend my heart. Tear it apart. Tear it apart. I know it feels like I'm weak, but that's when I'm strong. I know it feels like I'm losing, but that's when I'm actually winning. I know it feels like I'm dying, but that's when I actually find life. I know it feels like I'm falling apart, but I know that You are making me new. And He who began the good work in You will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. It's who He is. Amen. He's not asking us to figure it all out. He's saying, trust and obey. Follow my word. It'll be a lamp to your feet. You get that? I get so frustrated by this because I'm like, God, show me the whole path. And He's like, I'll give you a lamp for your feet so you know where to take the next step. I'm like, God, show me the no. Trust me. Take the next step. What step is God asking you to take? Let's bow our heads. I'm going to give you just a moment of silence where you can ask God that question, allow Him to answer, and then I'll pray, and then we'll sing and invite the Spirit in. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you are working in ways that we don't understand and we can't figure out. And you ask us to trust you and to obey. Father, it's hard. We know you're good. We know you're working when we can't even tell or see that you're working. And Lord, we have emotions, and sometimes they just take over. And we have a hard time controlling them, God. But you give us your Holy Spirit that's inside of us, working. The Spirit, the Word, we're going to sing about. Let us trust your Spirit, and it's working in us and through us. Let us be led by your Word. Let us do what your Word says to do. Let us not do what your Word says to not do. Lord, help us not only be hearers of the Word, but doers also. You give us the same invitation that you gave those first disciples. Come follow me. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, you're about saving souls, saving our souls, saving those around us, forming us, making us more into your image and likeness, conforming our hearts to your hearts. It's who you are. It's what you do. Lord, let us follow you and not ourselves. Lord, and when our hearts are weak, let us surrender to the God who is strong enough to hold our hearts, to put them back together. Let us rip them open and let you in, though. Lord, do a work in us, I pray. Amen.